The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parsha Shoftim. In Parsha Shoftim, the Vorim Yud Ches Pasuk Tes. Yato Bore Oretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Nesen Loch. You are coming to the land which Hashem will give you. Leisil Madlasish Kisei Averis Hagoyim Ahim. You shall not learn to do like the abominations of the nations that live there. Eretz Yisrael was occupied by the seven nations of Canaan, and they did all kind of lowly things. Now, what the Torah is referring to here in particular is Le'imotzi v'chor ma'avir b'nei uvite ba'esh. We should not follow their strange acts of sorcery and superstitions. For example, Le'imotzi v'chor ma'avir b'nei uvite ba'esh. They would build two fires, and they would pass through the fires their sons and daughters. This was called Avedis HaMolech. Kesem Kesomim. Rashi tells us Kesem Kesomim, that someone who can hold his walking stick and through some way tell us what's going to happen. Me'onin. Me'onin. One opinion Rashi brings, Onin means times. That they would give specific time zones as to this is a good time to start this type of work, this is not a good time. If you do this in this time, you'll have hatzlocha, the success. Another time you will not have. That's one opinion. Menachesh. Menachesh is pitei noflem mipiv tzviv, hifsikul b'derech, maklei noflem yodei. If a person is walking along, and all of a sudden, or if he's holding something, if he's eating, and the bread falls out of his mouth, he says this is not a good sign. Or, he shouldn't eat it. So if he's eating bread and it falls from his mouth, he says, this is a sign, I shouldn't eat it. Or if he's going someplace and a deer crosses his path, he says, this is a sign, I shouldn't go. We have a different one, a black cat crosses your path, so you say, it's a sign you shouldn't go. Matlein of labiyode. Or if he's walking stick, he's walking somewhere with his walking stick and he drops it, he says, this is a sign from above that I shouldn't go. This is what's called Menachesh. Chever Chover, that he would bring serpents and scorpions all together and make certain types of superstitions or magic from them. I skipped actually one. Mechashev. Mechashev is sorcery, witchcraft. Mechashev is witchcraft. Sheol Evi Yedeni. Sheol Evi Yedeni, they would communicate. This is a type of magic, black magic, or witchcraft, that they would communicate with various creatures. Either supernatural creatures, devils, and so forth. Deirishalamesim is that they would have ways of communication with the dead, or ways of signs from the dead as to which would advise them what to do. So these are various types of magic, sorcery, superstitions. And the Gemara refers to all of these as Darki Emeri, because those were the people that lived there, and these were their ways. Kisrevas Hashem Kolesa Ela. Kodesh Baruch Hu hates all of these things. And because of these abominations, that's why he's chasing these nations out of Eretz Yisrael. Tomim tia im Hashem alakecho. You should be tomim. Tomim means full, complete, perfect. Your trust with the Almighty should be full and complete with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi brings on that. Yisalech imay b'tmimus. Walk with the Almighty with a fullness of trust. And place your hopes in Him. Don't try to find what the future beholds for you through all of these strange manners. A person should not try to interest himself even interest himself what's in store for him in the future. But whatever will come on him, kabel bitmimus, accept with a fullness of trust. Then you will be with him, then you will be his nation, then you will be his portion. Then the Torah tells us, Ki agoyim eila shetah to yerishisom el ma'enim velkeis mimishmohu. All of these nations that are living there now, their communications are with all of these forces, these supernatural forces. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to communicate with these supernatural forces. Novim mikir b'chol me'achecha k'meini yokim l'cho Hashem l'kecha. He loves tishma'u. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you a Torah and he gave you Moshe Rabbeinu and you'll communicate with Moshe, and when Moshe is gone there'll be another prophet you'll communicate with. And when there'll be no prophets, there'll be the Chachomim, the sages. Your job is to communicate with the Torah. Don't look to communicate with all of these other forces which are in the world. This, one of the halachos. Now this is a whole section of the Talmud that goes into detail as to what these acts were. But in regards to what the Torah says, Tomim Tia, that you should walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a fullness of trust. So the Gemara brings this in Masechta Psachim on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Omar Abba Baba Chano, Omar Reb Shmuel Bar Maso, Omar Ab. Mishum Reb Yesi Ish Hotzel. Minayin Shein Shoelin B'Kaldayim. How do we know that one should not be Shoel B'Kaldayim, ask what his what's in store for him in the future from the Kaldayim? Rashi learns that it's referring to one of these things we mentioned. But the Rashbam and Tesfus in Masechta Shabbos brings, no, it's referring to a Chayze B'Kechovim, astrologers. Because astrology is not mentioned there. So we know that you're not allowed to do what's mentioned in the Torah, because the Torah says explicitly in this manner. But it's referring to something which is not in the Torah, and that's the Chayze B'Kechovim, astrologers, those who can read the future of a person from the stars. How do we know that one is not allowed to seek this? Shnemar, as it states, Tomim Tia im Hashem Lekecho, that you should walk with a fullness of trust with the Almighty and not worry about what's in store for you. That you should trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever will come, whatever he will bring to you. The Rambam in Hilchos Aveda Zorah at the end of Perek Yud Aleph, after he goes into all of these acts, now the Rambam's opinion in regards to all of these acts is that most of these acts are not legitimate. They're false. Dvorim ha'ele kulin divrei sheker v'kozev hein. He says they're lies. They're false. They don't work anyhow. V'heim shihitu behen evdi chachovim ha'kadmonim l'goi yoretz k'dei shinogu achreihem. They've just falsified these things in order that others should follow them. V'ein roi l'Yisrael she'em chachomim mechukomim. It's not fit for Israel, who are so wise, limoshech b'havelim elu, to be drawn after this nonsense, and not to actually think that there is some benefit. Shnemar, as it states, ki le'nachash b'yakev v'le'ketzer b'Yisrael. There are not sorcerers to be found amongst Yaakov and Israel. And then he quotes what we said. Then he says, "Umivneze omru teira kishazira al kol elu ahavolim." Therefore, the Torah said, when it referred to all of this, he refers to all of this as nonsense. He says, "Tomim tiyim Hashem lekecho," that you should walk with a fullness of trust with Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Now, whether all of this is nonsense and it's not something which has any credibility or not is a question. There are others who disagree with Rambam, and they hold that no, these are actual forces. There are forces in the world which are supernatural forces. There are devils in the world, and there is magic in the world. There's black magic in the world, and so forth. They bring many sources and proofs to it. Just like there's physical forces in the world, natural forces, there are supernatural forces. But the Torah forbade us to partake from it. The Torah forbade us to practice it. So this is actually irrelevant. See, if these are actual forces or not. Well, even if we say they are actual forces, that was only to those who were very wise in these type of exercises. But at this point, it's irrelevant whether they are actual or not actual, because the Torah forbade us. See? Torah forbade one to practice witchcraft. If it's nonsense, the Torah forbade it. If it's true, then even more so, the Torah forbade it. And in this, the Rambam quotes, "Tomim tiyim Hashem lekecho," that you should walk with a fullness of heart and trust with the Almighty. And this has its place in Shulchan Aruch, in Yoredeya. In Yoredeya, Simen Kuvayin Tes. The Mechaber brings Sival of Ein Shelim, Bechezim, Bekechovim, Belebi Goroles. Person is not allowed to seek his fortune amongst the astrologers or through a gerul. A gerul is different ways of casting lots. Okay. Every nation had their ways of casting lots, various methods, see, or gimmicks. Again, a lot of it was phony, perhaps some of it was true. And in this, the Mechaber says, "Ein shaylin." Not allowed to pursue these things. So the Rambam brings, why? Now here he has to bring another reason, because it's not amongst those that are mentioned in the Torah. So he says, because Mishum Shenemar Tomim Tiyim Hashem Lekecho, that you should walk with full trust in the Almighty. Kol Shkein, and then even more so, Dosa Lishol Bekesbi Menachshim V'chashvim. Even more so then, you're not allowed though to practice that which is written in the Torah. These sorceries and superstitions which are mentioned in the Torah, that's explicit, that you're not allowed to. But even that which is not, see, then it states, Tomim, you should walk with a fullness of trust with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then, in the next halacha, the Rama brings that everyone is born under a certain mazel, the Gemara tells us. Every month is a different mazel. There are 12 months, there are 12 mazoles. So everyone is born under a different mazel. So he says a person should not do something which is diametrically opposed to his mazel, because he shouldn't look for trouble. Okay? But, ein lach korachezer. But it's best to ignore it completely, vein lachkor, and not to get involved too much in this. Why? As it states, Tomim tia im Hashem lekecho, that you should walk with the fullness of trust with the Almighty. One more place where this is brought that we'll mention, and that is in that's in Or HaChaim by Hashon Rabbo. Hashon Rabbo, that's the last day of Sukkot before Shmini Atzeres, it's brought Kosvu Arishayim Zal.
Our early rabbis write, "Sheyesh Simen b'tzel harvona v'lil hashana rabo," that on the eve of Hashanah Rabbah, in accordance to the way your shadow will be cast by the moon, there is a sign. What's going to happen to you or your relatives in that year? Because Hashanah Rabbah is considered the Gemar Hashanah, the final day of the year, even though Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but it stretches to Hashanah Rabbah. That's why Hashanah Rabbah we have such a elaborate davening in the morning. The world then is judged on water, as to how much water is going to come to the world. So there is a sign, and the early sages knew of this. They knew how to detect a certain sign of your shadow from the moon, which could prophesy what will happen to you or your relatives that year. Yesh misha kosev, but the Rama says some right chain leductic bizer. You don't get involved with it. Why? See, now this is not Darkei Ameiri, because this is not mentioned, this type of practice is not mentioned in the Torah. But he says don't get involved with it. Kidei shalei lisrei mazlei. So he gives three reasons. One is shalei lisrei mazlei, because you could upset your mazel with it. What exactly that means, I don't know, but he says you could upset your mazel with it. Secondly, ki rabim eina mevinim eina aburyo. Most people don't understand what it's all about anyhow, so they'll totally misread all of the signs. Thirdly, v'yesetev liyesh tomim. And it's better that you should have trusted HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'leilach ki rahasidosh. And the person should not seek what's going to happen to him, but rather, whatever it'll be, it'll be good. Put your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is for the Pasuk, Tomim Tiyayim HaShem Elokecha. So he says, firstly, it could upset your mazel. Secondly, most people don't know what they're talking about when it comes to this. You have to be a chochem gadol, you have to be very wise. And thirdly, so therefore you could misread the whole situation. And thirdly, even if you do know what you're talking about, see, which is very, very rare, especially in our time, talking about the Rishayim, the early sages, even if you do know what you're talking about, if you're a great chochem in these things, he says, put your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu rather than these things, and don't seek your fortune in this manner. Now, as a summary, this is a very broad topic, and the point of the shiur tonight is not to go into, in particular, the details. See, the details of this topic. This is a very broad topic. The Gemara goes into it at length, and all of the Meforshim, all of the commentaries go into it at length, and there's many different opinions and disputes and so forth. Right? But the general summary is there are natural forces in the world and there are supernatural forces in the world. When it comes to the natural forces, this the Almighty gave us permission to use. So we use natural forces. Right? We can utilize the force of the wind, the force of gravity, the force of electricity, water power, whatever we want. When it comes to supernatural forces in the world, now, this is what we mentioned from the Rambam. He holds that most of these things that are mentioned are not legitimate forces to begin with. Others hold they are legitimate forces. But if they're mentioned, if the Gemara learns them out from the Parsha we have just learned, then they are in the category of what is referred to as Darkei Ameiri v'Kishuv, which means the ways of the nations that lived in Eretz Yisrael before Klal Yisrael came there, Kishuv, sorcery, and we are forbidden to practice them. And these are from the Chamurais. Right? These are very serious, because they carry, the Torah gives
gives Klal Yisrael very heavy penalties in regards to this. Alright, that's the first category. Then there's a second category that the Gemara brings, where the Gemara says there are certain things we are not allowed to rely on, but we can use them l'simona bi'alma. The Gemara calls that simona bi'alma. We once in the past spoke on that at length. We're not allowed to rely on it, but we can use it as a simona bi'alma. For example, one example we'll have coming up soon, that's on Rosh Hashanah. Gemara says simona milsihi. Rosh Hashanah, we put honey on the table. It's a sign we should have a sweet year. We eat the head of a fish. It's a sign that we should be Bereish Vele Mizona, we should be from the head and not from the tail. We eat things that give a sign that we will multiply. And this, the Gemara says, this is good. Simona Milsihi. But the Gemara says you must not rely on it. If somebody was going to eat honey, and he thinks that's going to give him a sweet cheer, then he's from the fools. If he thinks that if he'll put a certain vegetable on the table, and that will give him children, now, this nut. Gemara says, Simona bi'alma. He can use it as a sign. As a sign, and be mispalel, and pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this is what should be. Same time, we have various days. For example, we know it's brought that it's when it comes to a chasana, we have days when it's brought. Actually, it's brought in. We just passed through the period of the 3 weeks. Bein HaMetzorim. During the 3 weeks, we don't get married. Now, the commentaries bring that really marriage is a great mitzvah. And mitzvah should not be stopped during the 3 weeks. During the 3 weeks and during the 9 days, so we stop doing other things. But we shouldn't stop doing mitzvahs. So why don't we get married during the 3 weeks? So the commentaries bring, this is true. Really, we should not stop getting married. But it's not a good siman. To get married in these days, it's not a siman tov. Not a good sign. Doesn't mean that is going to be the major element which will affect the situation either way. But the Gemara says that we can do things the simona bi'alma, as a good sign. That's the second category, and that's also though if it's not in what we mention. Now there's a third category. Third category is if there are individuals who have a great amount of wisdom in some of these areas of the supernatural sphere, and they can use this sphere to foretell us certain things, and these are not from the category which is mentioned in the Torah and forbidden, then for the reasons mentioned before they would be permissible. But it's that and that for three reasons we shouldn't get involved. One is that sometimes it can backfire on you, which is referred to as Shalelisre Mazlo. It can backfire. It can ruin your mazlo. Secondly, these things are so complicated that Rabbim, the huge majority of even the people who claim they know what they're talking about, do not know. So it can cause all types of confusion and distortion. But thirdly, even if they do know, and this is written, Tomim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha, place your full trust with the Almighty, Bal Tachkor Achar Asius, and do not seek other ways and means of knowing
what is in store for you.
That's a summary of these halachos.
Now what I'm more interested this evening in going into is we find sometimes we are told that we must use all of our faculties in order to guide ourselves, in order to clarify a situation for ourselves. And sometimes we are told, Atkan, till now, till here, don't go further. Like this instance over here. We have a general principle that a person has to use a seichel. Person cannot rely on blind trust. Cannot rely on blind faith. He was given a seichel, he was given a mind, and he has to use it. And he has to make his own decisions, and he has to put a lot of thought in it and a lot of homework in it. Other times we are told, Al tachkor. Don't get too involved. Don't think too much. Be somech. Rely on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Sometimes we're told, Bitochen, have trust in the Almighty. Hashkocha proti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will guide us. Kol mal de'ovid rachmono le'tav ovid, whatever the Almighty will do, it will be for the good. There was Nochem Ish Gamzu. Nochem Ish Gamzu was a person who said that whatever happened, it was for the good. And many times we are told, Ein seim chen al ha'neis, you can't depend on miracles, you have to depend on your own two hands. Or you have to ein ledayan el ma'ashen of reis. You can only judge a situation as far as what you can see, in accordance to what you see. Many times we are obligated to use to the utmost the seichel which was given to us, the mind which was given to us. There are other times we are told to, no, don't use your mind. Trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, these two types of approaches, how do we correlate them? When do we say one approach and when do we say the other approach? The answer to this is a comparatively simple principle, but this is important to know because man's entire life is a series of decision making. It's very important for him to know how to make decisions. The Chazal tell us in the Torah, in Parshas Vayishlach, Yaakov was returning to his home after being 20 years in the house of Laban. And he came and he was confronted with Esav. Esav was coming to him with an army of 400 men. And Esav wanted to kill him. So the Torah tells us what took place in Parshas Vayishlach. And it states, Hiskin Yaakov. Yaakov prepared himself for three things. Ledeiren, he made a lavish gift which he sent to Esav, and the Torah writes he placed a lot of effort in it. He took easy Mosayim, Yoshi Mesrim, Recheli Mosayim, Eli Mesrim. He took goats and he took sheep and he took camels and he took cattle and he prepared it with a great amount of effort to send it to Esav, that perhaps this would cause Esav to forgive him and to forget about his wrath. Then he split his camp into two, and the Chazal tell us he prepared for Melchoma, he prepared for war. If Esav will come to one and want war, so then the other one will be the plater, the other one will be able to be saved. And then he was mispala to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see he did three things. Now the question is why didn't he just pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
The power of prayer is so strong.
So he should just pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and place his trust in the Almighty.
Why did he go through all of the effort of preparing the lavish gift
and the effort of dividing his camp into two? So from here we see the principle that what he was capable, physically and humanly capable of doing, he did. What he was not physically and humanly capable of doing, and then he was mispallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same we find in a later instance. In Parshas
in Perek Mem Gimel, the brothers of the sons of Yaakov had gone down to Egypt to buy grain, because there was a famine in the land. And when they came down, so the viceroy of Egypt, who was Yosef, but they didn't know that, see, he went and he took Shimon and he held him as captive, and he said he will not let him go until you come down with your other son, your other brother Binyamin, the younger son of Yaakov. Yaakov for a long time refused to send him down. Finally, when he saw that they needed more food and so forth, so he decided to send him down. So it states in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayim Aleim Yisrael Avihem. Yisrael said to them, Im Kein Efei Zeis Asu. If you're going to go down, so then do this. Kechu Mizimras Ores Bikleichem. Take from the most favorite of the land in your vessels, Vaheiridu Lish Mincho, and go down and take a gift to the man. Me'at Sori or Me'at Vash, Nechos Velot Betonim Ushkedim. And again, he went through much effort in an elaborate preparation. Take spices and take honey, and take from the rare nuts of the land and so forth. And then take money. Vesachichem Kechu, and then take Binyamin and go down. And then it states, Ve'el Shaddai Yitein Lochem Rachamim Lifnei Ish V'Shilach Lochem Esachichem Acher Ves Binyamin V'Anika Sheshucholti Shucholti. And the Almighty, He should give compassion before, He should have compassion and give compassion before this man, in order that He should send back your brother and Binyamin and so forth. Now why didn't Yaakov just say the tefillah? Okay. So what do we see? The first Yaakov went and he made an elaborate gift, and he went to all of the effort that was necessary, and then he said a tefillah, a prayer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give compassion to this man and he will be merciful towards us. Again we see the same conduct, the same approach. The principle is the Almighty, when He created us, He gave us physical faculties and He gave us intellectual faculties. And these were given for our use. And if we don't use them, then we are entirely at fault. No one else. It was given for our use. And we must use these faculties to the utmost in every possible instance. And we cannot say that it's destined. If it's destined, it's destined. We cannot say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of things. Now, the job was given to us. We cannot say He'll make miracles. Ein semchin al hanes. We're not allowed to rely on miracles.
We cannot say Hashgocha. He leads us. Not true. Because Bechira was given in our hands. The greatest and most forceful tool that was given to man in this world is Bechira, the power of choice. And the choice is in his hands. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not lead anyone. Man will have to lead himself. Rambam writes very explicitly in Hilchos Tshuva, Rishus Nesuna Lo'odom, free choice was given to every man to choose to do good or to choose to do evil. If he chooses to do good, then no force can stop him. If he chooses to do evil, then no force will stop him. He can be as good and as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, and he can be as evil as Yerobam ben Nevat, the most evilest. And nobody will stop him. And the Rambam writes, Leiki tipshia eilam, Ibrei golmei eilam. Not like the fools of the world, and the majority, and even of the wise of the world, that come and say that man's destiny is marked out for him. Not true. If man's destiny is marked out for him, then he's destroying himself. Man was given an absolute free will when it comes to the area of good and evil. An absolute free will. And the Rambam writes, if he does good, then no one can take the credit except him. If he does evil, then no one also can take the responsibility except him. So those people that go around and say, it's destined, it's Hashgocha Protis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do it. It's Bashert. Not so. That's the whole yesod, the whole principle of Torah and mitzvahs. The Torah and mitzvahs were given to us, and a free choice was given to us to choose whether to do or whether not to do. This is in the area of Tov v'Ra, in the area of good and evil. So therefore, when it comes to doing any act which is related with good and evil, we have to do all that's humanly possible. When it comes to an area that's beyond our human capabilities, there's nothing more we can do about it, then it's just the opposite. Then we must stop trying to do anything. And then we must rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, when Yaakov was confronted by Esau, he didn't say, I'm not going to do anything and just pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First he tried appeasement. He tried to appease him with great effort and great resources. It was a very expensive gift. He tried to appease him. Then he planned a military strategy for war. And after that, there's nothing more I can do now. So now we're talking about an area that's beyond human effort. Then he used the Keach HaTfila, the power of prayer, and Bitochen, trust in the Almighty. All was necessary. Because to only trust in the Almighty, so then you're not fulfilling the ability that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. To trust only in your abilities, then you're not fulfilling trust in the Almighty. And the same when it came to try to get Shimon back from the viceroy of Paray, first he tried every diplomatic procedure that he could think of. After that, he used tefillah. He used the power of prayer. So this is the principle, and this is very important. Now both of these qualities are referred to by the Chazal as Tam the Yoshor. The Maral in his Nisivat Mimus, he explains that Yoshor means to do what's upright in accordance to the ability of your mind, to decide for yourself what's upright. Tam to Mimus, that means to do what's upright, but that's already where your mind cannot decide. It's beyond the ability of the mind. Where you do what's upright by having a total trust in the Almighty. And this is why we find in many places that these two phrases are written together. For example, in Tilim Chofei it states, Tem v'yosho yitzruni. Many times we find these two words written together. Both of these words are written in the Torah, in reference to the Torah. It states, P'kudi Hashem Yishorim, Sam Chelev, the mitzvahs of Hashem are Yoshor, they are upright, and Teres Hashem Tamimo, and the Torah is perfect. Both of these qualities we find by Yaakov. Yaakov was Ishtam. It states, Yaakov Ishtam Yeshiva Olim. Ishtam means that he was an upright person with the fullness of trust. This means that he relied on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Upright person with the fullness of trust, he relied on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And it also states on Yaakov, his name was Yeshurun. Yeshurun comes from the word Yoshur. He always walked perfectly in the center. He didn't deviate to the right extreme or he didn't deviate to the left extreme. Where he was able to clarify what was upright through the effort of his mind, then that was Yoshur. Where he was unable to, then he just relied on a Kodesh Baruch Hu with a fullness of heart, and that is called Tam, Tamimus. Now, as I mentioned before, man's entire life is a series of decisions. He actually was put into this world to make decisions, to choose between right and to choose between wrong. And man is confronted all the time with decisions. Let's spend a little time on both of these areas and see if we can help elucidate this a bit. When it comes to the Midas HaChochmah, the quality of wisdom that we are obligated to use our wisdom to direct us. As we said, there are certain times when you're obligated to use your wisdom to direct you, and there are other times when we are told not to use our wisdom to direct us, but to rely on the Almighty. Now, in the area when we are obligated to use our wisdom to direct us, firstly, we should know, unfortunately, in today's world, you don't find too much wisdom. You don't find people speaking too much about wisdom. People are more interested in, they're interested in money. The right decision is the decision which is going to get you the most money. It's not based on wisdom. It's based on what will get you the most money. Or they're interested in skills. You go to university not to learn wisdom, you go to university to learn a particular skill, a particular profession that will gain you a livelihood, that will gain you money. Unfortunately, we don't hear too much today about wisdom. In the old days, wisdom was something. Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, he asked when he was offered, what did he want? More than anything else, he wanted wisdom. For people to pursue wisdom merely for the sake of wisdom in today's world, this is something which is very foreign, because it's worthless. It cannot be marketed. Western world is based solely on the market, and because of that we see so many bad decisions always being made. In my experience,
we're dealing with people, being a communal person, I see all the time ruined lives and ruined homes and ruined people, mostly because of a series of one bad decision after another. People don't realize how much is reliant on a decision. Most people feel, well, I'll decide like this and so what. They don't realize that they are the ones who are going to be responsible for the decisions, and that they are the ones who are going to carry the brunt of the consequences of their decisions. And a bad decision can bring consequences for years and years and years. And that's why when it comes to decision making, we are called to use our utmost wisdom into trying to make a good decision, a right decision. So the first thing we must realize is that chokhmah, wisdom, the sages refer to this as or, this is a light. And if a person uses his mind and he uses his wisdom to direct himself, then he's cast. And the sages say, "Ksil b'cheshechelik." A fool walks in darkness. Unfortunately, there are many fools around. A fool is a person who doesn't use his mind, doesn't make decisions. And if he does, he doesn't base the decisions on wisdom. Most of the time, he's merely basing decisions on what's the easiest thing to do, what's the most popular thing to do, or what will be something that there'll be less criticism if he does it, or what's good in the short term, not interesting himself in the long term. So this is a fool, because he's not using his wisdom. We must realize, not using that wisdom is the same as walking on a dark road where you cannot see ahead of you. And this means that it's headed for disaster. And naturally, the greatest wisdom is the Torah. And this is why the Torah is referred to as Torah Or. Torah casts the greatest light. In this vein, we have a Mishnah in Masechta Ovis. The Mishnah states in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tes Zayin, Ram Gamliel says, "Ase lechorav," a person should make for himself a Rebbe, "histalek min hasofik," he should withdraw himself from doubts, "valtirbe la'aser u'modesh," and he should not, when he gives his maaser, the 10% of his grains, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, 10% of the grains were given to the Levim, to the Levites, he should not do it regularly with just a estimation, but it should be exacting. So the Maral in his Pirush says, what are all of these three instructions? What do they have one to do with the other? So he writes as follows. An odom, a person, kol inyonov, should be brurim. A person, now this is just opposite of our times, a person, if he's a man, he should be mishtadl. He should place great effort all of the time that whatever he does with a brirus. A brirus means he does with a certainty. Whatever a person does, he should always do with a certainty. Bilti sofik, not with doubt. But aksil b'cheshechele. The fool is the one who walks in doubt. But the chocham, a person who's not a fool, he must always walk with a certainty. And therefore he must always place great effort in elucidating and in clarifying his directions. People, big businessmen have told me, right, that unfortunately
many blunders, tremendous amount of blunders or crises or whatnot comes because more effort was put in later than before. People want to get into action right away, so they start doing. Had they put more effort beforehand to think out things clearly, to clarify the situation before acting, they could have saved weeks and months and years of unnecessary work and sometimes even tragedies. A person must not walk in doubt, he must not live in doubt. He must constantly concentrate to clarify his situation for himself. Otherwise he's exiled, he walks in darkness. And then he writes, more than that, a person who is always walking in doubt, he says he's not an Odom, he's not a man. He's like an animal. Why? Because what's the difference between man and an animal? The seichel, the intellect that was given to the person. The intellect is a nair. The intellect is a light. An animal wasn't given a light. Therefore he needs a master to guide him. Man was given a light to guide himself. If he doesn't use it, so he's lafka odom, then he's not an odom, he's not a man. He falls from his level of manhood. He's like an animal that doesn't know where to go. He needs someone to lead him. And therefore, M. Gamliel here is telling us this. All of your businesses, see, everything that you do must be put on a clear footing. He says, first of all, he writes, there's three areas. There's the area of wisdom. In the area of wisdom, asil l'chorav, make yourself a Rebbe, so your Torah will not be in doubt. Person learns Torah by himself, he's also in doubt. You ask him, what does this mean? He says, well, it could mean this, and it could mean that, and it could mean a third thing. You ask him a halacha, he says, well, it could be this, or it could be that, or it could be a third thing. He's constantly going in doubt. So what is the Torah worth? Torah comes to be meir, to give him light, and he's still in the darkness. And this is what we find a great deal of the world today. And this is not the way it's supposed to be. We learned not long ago, it states, v'shinamtum levanecha she'achidudim v'ficho, that Torah has to be so sharp on your mind, but it's clear. It's perfect. It says, well, even if someone wakes you up and asks you a question, a shayla, you can answer him immediately. So in order that a person's Torah should not be full of doubt and confusion, unfortunately, there are many people that are more confused after they start learning than before. It says, Asi l'chorav. You must find yourself a Rav who will help clarify Torah for you. So that's the first area. Then the second area is in your everyday matters. In your everyday matters, histalik min hasofik. If it's an area of doubt that you cannot clarify, get out of it.
Stalik, withdraw from it.
Enter areas, only those areas that you know what you're doing in. And if you're in doubt, clarify it. And if you cannot enter it with certainty, then withdraw from it. Stay away from it. It's a danger area.
Because man was not made to be walking around like a fool.
It's a fool. That's a ksil. That's the second area. The third area is even in mitzvahs. Even in the area of mitzvahs, like you're giving the tenth of your grains, it must be exacting. It must be with a clarification. And he writes, Shekein roi, shekach roi lebal seichel, she'elech b'cheshech. It's not befitting for a bal seichel, for a person who was given an intellect, to walk in darkness. And when he conducts himself in this manner, that all of his life he will put in great effort to elucidate and to clarify for himself his steps, then shleimus godel elov, this is a tremendous perfection to the person.
ki harbe ve harbe chisreines nimshochim kashera odam masel guilty brooding.
Because there are many, many downfalls. This, as I mentioned, I see all of the time. There are many, many downfalls.
There are many consequences and tragedies that come merely from the fact that a person is constantly walking in a confused manner. Should I go learn here? Should I go learn there? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I enter this field? Should I enter this? So forth. And he's never clear, and he never clarified anything, and he walks in confusion, and he goes from one crisis to the other.
Ruyal balsechel shia maisov nimshochim achar asechel abor.
The balsechel, he should always try to reach a clarity and a certainty. Then he brings, the Gemara brings, Gemara says, Mishorobu Talmidi Hill Vishama Shalashim Shakol Tsochai, Robert Machlekis Bisrael, Vanasa Tere Kishte Teres.
When the disciples of Beis Hillel and the disciples of Shammai did not learn enough by the Rebbes, in other words, they didn't fulfill this Asei Lecharav, they left their Rebbes prematurely, that's when the great Machlekesim, that's when the great disputes came between the two yeshivas, and in Yisrael it became like two Torahs, right? From the confusion. So this is very, very important, that a person must always place great effort in elucidating what he does before he does it, and then do it, and he'll keep himself out of a lot of problems and trouble. Another important principle is
we must place great emphasis on wisdom when it comes to guiding ourselves. Wisdom means what is the wise thing to do. See, unfortunately, when people have questions regarding their own directions, you very seldom hear what is the wise thing to do. They want to know what is the best thing to do, not what is the wise thing to do. What is the best thing? For example, what field should I enter? What field would I make more money in? What field would I be more successful in? Not what is the wise thing to do. Not always what seems to be best to you, and not always it seems to be the field that you would make the most money in, and not always what seems to be the most popular field or the most glamorized field is necessarily the wisest field for you to enter. We must place a great emphasis on wisdom, not merely on decisions which just happens to be the easiest or the most profitable, or what other reasons there might be. And then another very important factor, this is very important, and that is, and this is something also unfortunately you don't hear too much about, and this is what Shlomo HaMelech writes in the beginning of Mishlei. He writes this in the seventh posuk of Mishlei, but the commentaries, the Gaon and the others, say that that's actually the first posuk to Mishlei. The rest was just Hakdoma introduction. The first posuk to Mishlei, Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, who was the wisest of all men, he says, Yiras Hashem Reishis Doas. The beginning of all knowledge is the fear of Hashem. Now there are many interpretations in that, but one very good interpretation is Yiras Hashem Reishis Doas. The fear of Hashem is the beginning of all knowledge. But that's the first calculation that should be taken when one tries to elucidate something with his wisdom. If a person is confronted with a question of direction, what should he do? What should he do? Should he take this position or that position? Should he move or should he not move?
Should he go to this yeshiva or that yeshiva? Should he get married to this one or should he not get married to this one? And so forth and so on. All of the shailas achayim, all of the many questions of life that confront people all the time. So everyone will come up with 100 points one way or the other. The first point that must come into the picture is Yiras Hashem Reishis Noas. That the fear of Hashem, this is the first part of Chochmah. In other words, the first calculation is it, we must look at this merely in the scope of right and wrong. Right and wrong. People, businessmen have big calculations. Is this a right decision or wrong decision? What's it based on? It's based on money. It's based on other things. Now, right and wrong in accordance to right and wrong. Not if it's right for me or wrong for me. Is it right accordance to what is right? Is it wrong accordance to what is wrong? How does this fit in with the right and wrong of the Torah? Yoshur be'enei Hashem, what is right in the eyes of the Almighty. That's the first. There's so many people that are all too willing to close their eyes to what is right and wrong because of other calculations. This is what Shlomo HaMelech says, that Yiras Hashem Reishis Noas. The first part, the first step in wisdom is the fear of Hashem. That must be the first calculation. If that's right, then the rest will come right. If that's wrong, then nothing will come right. That's another very important principle. And a final principle in this area of Chokhmah, and this also, you see a lot of people failing. People make, they do a research, they do a soul searching, and they come to a decision, but they don't carry it out. They come to a decision. Many times I sit down and talk with people, and they come to the conclusion, this is what they should do. This is the right thing to do. A few days later, they decided not to do it. Why? Came to the conclusion it's the right thing to do. Maybe you feel it's not the, no, it's the right thing to do, but there's other reasons why I've decided not to do it. It's difficult, or I discussed it with this one and he's against it, and so forth and so on. After all of the soul searching and after all of the wisdom that's been used, you make your decision, then you must prevail over yourself to do it. You must force yourself to do it. If it's the right thing to do, then you must do it. If it's the wrong thing to do, then you must not do it. Many times we see people, they clarify a direction with their wisdom, but then they fail to fulfill it. In the other area of Tmimus, where there we say that you should not use your wisdom, but you merely should rely on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Then it states, Bitchubah, and that's in the area where it's already beyond the person. The person can't do any more about it. Bitchubah Hashem Adiyat. That we say that you should trust in a Kodesh Baruch Hu all of the time. Abeteach Hashem Chesed Yishuv Sevevenu. If you put your trust in the Almighty, then He will surround you with His Chesed. Now this doesn't mean, again, that you should place your trust in Him and not make your own decisions. This means that after you have done everything that you can do, then you must have confidence in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and put your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not worry about it anymore. And this is what David HaMelech said in Tehillim Mem Aleph, Bani betumi eleich pedeini vechoneni. That I walk with trust with the Almighty, He will redeem me. He will be kind to me. Or he also said, David HaMelech, Bani betumi tov machto bi v'tatziveni lefanech l'olam. I have placed my trust in the Almighty. He has supported me. He will support me forever. Now this fullness of trust that's in the Almighty, this stands forever. This is like the quality of emes, of truth. And it stands forever, and this is the quality of Yaakov, of Jacob.
In other words, we have to do what we can. Beyond that, we must have fullness of confidence and trust. You have people that are always lack of confidence, lacking in confidence. They say, but how do I know it's the right thing? How do I know it'll work? How do I know? You must think it out. You must ask for proper advice and think it out. But once you come to the decision that this is it, unless you've had second thoughts that the decision is not the right decision, unless you can prove it's not the right decision, but once you have come to the decision that this is the right thing to do, then you must do it, and the rest you rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means, Tomim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha. Then you rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I once read from one of the leading world doctors in the area of stress. Illness is related to stress. Well, he writes that stress that is plaguing Western culture today, he says it's not from pressure of hard work. He says people worked harder in the old times than today, much harder. He says it's not from pressure of poverty. People were poorer. He says it's not from worry of external dangers. There were greater external dangers. In Europe, 100 years ago, a flu epidemic could wipe out a population. Pogroms and war.
It's prevalent.
So why do we find it today? We never found these stress-related
illnesses so much
100 years ago. So he writes the theory. He says he is convinced, this is one of the leading doctors, that it comes from erosion of self-confidence, indecision. Indecision and lack of direction. He says in the old days, 100 years ago, whatever the people didn't have, the directions were clear. The home was strong. The direction was clear, was strong. They didn't have so much opportunity. They didn't have so much possibility, so many options, and so much confusion. They were brought up in one direction. They were usually given a particular profession. They did it and they lived. They walked with confidence. Today our whole life is a life of indecision, erosion of confidence, confusion. He says that kills a person. And that's what the Maharal was speaking about. We walk in darkness. We must clarify the situation for ourselves. Once then we have to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That could be why we find so many people are trying to find other aids of all this types of sorceries or fortune tellers or whatnot to aid them, to direct them. Now there is what is known as wisdom, and then there's also what is known as chokhmah yesera, too much wisdom. How can there be too much wisdom? Shlomo HaMelech writes, al tiyat tzadik harbe al tishakem yesem yidai lome tishomem. He says you should not be too righteous, do not be more righteous in the Torah, and you should not be too wise. Now we understand what it means, you shouldn't be more righteous in the Torah. The Torah says you can do this, you shouldn't say you cannot do it. But what does it mean, you should not be too wise? The answer to that is what is known as a chokhmah yesera. There's a question of being too wise also. The Maharal brings, he says, a proof that there is a chokhmah yesera, that too wise also is not good, is we see that by Adam HaRishon, the first man, he was created not to eat from the tree of Yodea Bein Tev L'Ra, the tree that would give him knowledge between good and evil. He was created not with that. And then there was no death that came to the world. After he sinned and he ate from the tree, v'nifkachot einov, and their eyes opened up and they became wiser, they fell. They were chased out of the Garden of Eden and death came to the world. That was a wisdom that was not to belong to them. It was a chokhmah yesera. Now it's interesting. You have people that are wise and they go straight, and then you have what is known as shrewd. See? People who are very wise and shrewd. Today in business,
Not dependent on how wise you are, it's dependent on how shrewd you are, how cunning you are. Now, who was the shrewdest and the cunning of all creatures? That was the Nochash. And the Nochash and the serpent, it says, he was Orum Mikol Hachayos. Orum means a shrewdness, a wisdom which is shrewd, a wisdom which is cunning. The serpent brought that level of wisdom into the world. The level of wisdom that Adam originally had was a wisdom that was completely straight. The serpent is known as a crooked animal. If you see when you watch, he never goes in a straight line. He'll never go up a road. He always crosses the road. And his body's not straight. His body's always crooked. His whole nature is crooked. And he came and he made from what was straight, crooked. Adam was created, Yoshev Atam, with a straight wisdom and a straight trust. And it was the serpent who came with his cunningness. You can be wiser than the Almighty, he told him. The Almighty ate from the tree and created the world. You can be wiser. You'll be more powerful. You can take over the company. You can become chairman of the board. This is what he told him. See? What do you have to work for him for? You're wiser than him. You can take over. This is what he told him. This is what we hear all the time. That came from the Nochash. That's a Chochmah Yisera. See? That's a wisdom that's not good for the person. In Yiddish there's a saying, Medav Zayin Klug, Ova Nish Tzu Klug. And that's where it comes from. And that's why it states that a person is supposed to think everything out in straight lines in accordance with the capabilities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. He must use his Rebbe, he must use his Torah, whatever facilities he can use. After that, then he's supposed to have a trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a full trust. Tomim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha Val Tachar Achar Asidus. People who, once there's nothing more they can do, and they still try to go behind the scenes to find out what's happening. They'll go to stargazers, and they go to crystal ball peoples, and to fortune tellers, and cast lots. Now, don't laugh, because these things are happening all of the time. They're happening all of the time. They're not only happening in the non-Jewish camp, they're happening in the Jewish camp and in the Torah camp. See? And they'll go to people that throw lots, and so forth and so on. See, this is the Chochmah Yisera, this is the cunningness that came from the serpent. And that's why we are commanded, Tomim Tia Im Hashem Lekecho. This, the Gemara brings, that Gemara brings in Masechta Nedarim, Daf Lamed Beis, Omer Aleph, Kol Mi Sheina Menachish, a person who goes straight. And he relies on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once he cannot go any further with his own seichel, he relies on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, the level that it comes to is afilu ein malache aseris omdin b'mechitzosan. Even the angels cannot come to where he stands, because this was the quality of Yaakov. Yaakov was the ish tam, where he put his total trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ish yoshev ish tam. This is these are a few principles in this subject. That you should walk in full trust with the Almighty in areas that are no longer placed into human endeavor, human hands. And it states that all of those who walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they'll be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nachla v'chelke. And he will guard them. We should be zeicher to be tomim tia im Hashem Elokecha.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.